Hello and welcome to this week's Therapy for Me, and I'm sat in my happy place. And if you've listened to any number of these episodes, you know that means I'm at the pool area at the Sheraton Park Hotel in the Anaheim Resort, around where the fire pits are, just watching the world go by as everybody comes back from a busy day on the show floor at the NAMM show. So you're going to get all that noise, or bits of that noise, in the background as we go past. Probably a general murmur, but there's a guy to the left of me moving tables in the pool area, so that might be it, slightly jarring if that carries on. But let's see what happens and crack on with a little bit of that twangy guitar. It's going to be a fairly random collection of things for this week's TFM, as it often is when I travel. I try and sort of look at the things that come along that are a bit weird and report back on them. And the first thing to report back on, and except the fact that we've skipped a couple of days, because we flew out on Monday and not a right lot happens. Well, not a lot happens when you're just on a plane for 10 hours. So Monday wasn't much of anything particularly. But on Tuesday, we ended up at Redondo Beach, and I thought I'd been to Redondo Beach at the point in the past, but I hadn't. So I went out for a run in the morning, and we ended up running down from Hermosa Beach to Redondo Beach, which took me through this kind of weird structure, which is known as the Redondo Beach Pier. And it was a little bit odd, but it was in the middle of a run, and you do what you do when you run along the coast, which is you run however many miles in one direction, you turn around, you run back, obviously. And Jason and I went out through the day, because I'm travelling with Jason, who I do the 942 podcast with, and I sort of, he came up in conversation with the Uber driver who lived in Redondo Beach, and said they've been threatening to tear this pier down, because I'd happened to say, this thing is just quirky. And he said, yeah, that's exactly the description for it. And so Jason and I went back, and Jason had exactly the same reaction, which is, it's absolutely quirky. It's this mix of architecture. It's like a brutalist concrete car park with like a very old-fashioned rickety pier with kind of buildings that look like ships, and then a piece of pier that was built, I now know, in 1995, or finished in 95, which joins these two wharfs together, because they were originally wharfs, not piers. So it's not a pier that goes out to sea a long way in the way like we think of a UK pier, and it goes out however many yards and that's it. These were like two prongs that was sticking out, and then they've been joined together at the top to give you this kind of weird kind of walkway, and it's on multiple levels, but it's such a mix of different things that it just looks, you know, unique and quirky, but ultimately wrong. It's like Jay sort of termed it Coventry on Sea, and he's probably about right. So that was today's little... I mean, we ended up having a walk around, and we had a coffee and what have you. And by the end of it, we still couldn't get our heads around it. We couldn't get our heads around how that thing actually comes to exist. It's one of those weird bits of planning that's... You know, it's almost... It's 10 different people had 10 different ideas, and that was the compromise kind of vibe is what we got. But if you find yourself in that neck of woods, I genuinely say go and see Redondo Pier, because you won't have seen anything quite like it.
Tuesday.
So we were stood in the queue waiting to get the rental car. And we did something different this year, which is we didn't get the rental car after the flight. We got through customs, did all those things, jumped an Uber, went to the hotel we were staying at Hermosa, and then went back the next day to collect the car, because we thought, you know, let's collect it when we're not tired. And we hadn't got a great distance to travel. In the past, we've had a reasonable distance to travel, so you get the rental car there. And then we reversed it around and did it slightly differently this time. So we were going back, and we ended up in a very, very long queue at the car rental place. We were waiting for an Avis car, and the queue was brutal. It was one of these... It's a custom, you know, made building where it's that you bus everybody to the rental car centre. And it's one of those things that's clearly built for processing people really quickly. So this Avis, you know, part of the building had 30-40 computer terminals, of which three were occupied. So there's a queue of 30 people and there's three people working, so you ended up in this queue for sort of the best part of an hour. And we got talking to somebody ahead of us in the queue and discovered something neither of us knew about dogs with epilepsy. And the guy was telling us that he'd got a relative who basically was about to make $750 million because he's come up with a way of administering epilepsy medication for dogs directly to them, and it has to be administered through the nostrils. So he's come up with a delivery mechanism to get epilepsy medication into these dogs. Now, I didn't know that epilepsy in dogs was such a big thing, and apparently it's massive. So of the thing, yeah, you know, you don't come up, well, I suppose you do come all the way over here to learn these things, but the big takeaway from the day, you know, actually two things in one day, because it was the Redondo Beach Pier Day as well, but was this whole thing of epilepsy in dogs, which, yeah, I'd never heard of it. I know a lot of dog owners, and at no point in time have I heard of anybody having an epileptic dog, but clearly it's a big enough issue that somebody can earn 750 million quid by getting some way of shoving a thing up a dog's nose.
Wednesday.
I've realised that I'm very particular about my hotel rooms when I travel. And I know this because it winds Alison up if we ever go and stay in a hotel room together, but I have to have a hotel room tidy before I go to bed. I can't relax properly unless my hotel room is cleared away and everything is, you know, everything that I have is processed. My dirty clothes, everything has to be all in the right place before I can actually sleep. What's brought it about is the fact that I've just gone through the process of starting to pack because we're moving from the Sheraton to a different hotel tomorrow. Hopefully, if everything goes to plan, we're going to Warner Brothers on Sunday. And I've started the process of packing, and I've realised how particular I am about the way I pack my bag as well. One for the way out and one for the way back in terms of how I fold everything and the whole way that I do. And it's bordering on something that should be concerning. In fact, I am concerned about it myself, actually, as I found myself doing it, but I found great comfort and felt so much better already knowing that I'm ahead of tomorrow, because, you know, and this is the daft thing, is that I'm going to pack now in my specific way to go to a new hotel to unpack, to pack. I'm going to go through this process again. So the argument should be, well, why wouldn't I just throw everything in the bag now? Because I'm ultimately going to do it again anyway when I do my final pack when we leave the next hotel, because that's the one that will be the last one before we head home. But I can't do it. I have to do it the right way so that I can do it the right way, so I can do it all over again on Sunday night. There's got to be a word for it. It's got to be a spectrum thing, this. It's got to be an OCD or a spectrum thing. I don't quite know what it is, but I just know that unless everything is right in the room, I can't sleep, and I'm relaxed enough to do TFM because I have more than part packed the bag for tomorrow, even though we aren't checking out till about 4. So I know that the California Fire things has come back onto the news in the UK, but only really because Trump's been visiting and doing what Trump does when he visits. There's a couple of things in the whole fire thing. I mean, one, you would not know. You absolutely would not know. Wherever we have been, you would not know this is going on. There is local TV coverage of it, but if you don't happen to pick up the local TV coverage, then if you looked around and you looked at the sky and you looked at anything, there is no indication that what has happened and continued to happen is actually going on in this city. But then, of course, we're talking about a city or an area that covers a huge territory, so, and we are a long way away from it here, but in terms of air quality and all those kind of things, it has not affected in the slightest. The one thing that it is interesting, and I noticed this and I didn't put two and two together until we were chatting about it today, was how dry the air is. The air is particularly dry. Apparently it's something in the regions of 7% humidity, which is really, really low. And I ended up, I've been putting moisturiser on my legs because since I got here, my legs have been dry. And sometimes that's, in the past, that's been something that's happened because of the long-haul flight. And I found myself getting dehydrated. And it's, but it, that's not happened to me as I've come across for a long time. And it was only when, and actually my shirt's been rubbing on my back, where my rucksack's been rubbing against my back, I've got like a red patch on the bottom of the base of my back. And it's just because of how dry my skin is. So it's easy to understand how these things have happened, because the air is so dry. And when we got here for the first couple of days, the wind has been really, really strong, the Santa Ana wind. So it's really interesting that actually even here you can get a sense of how this would happen, and the winds have been a lot worse further up. The other thing that's been fascinating about it all is I've watched a couple of the TV broadcasts from the emergency services in the area, getting information out to people in the areas that are affected. And I watched a bit of the rolling coverage because it was on a TV screen in one of the in the club lounge here, where we've been having breakfast. And it is remarkable how thorough that is. As an operation in TV reporting, as an operation in local information sharing, as in an operation in how candid and how much information is being shared by the emergency services in those areas, it is incredible. They are really geared up for this. They're really geared up for the press conference thing. They're really geared up to share information. They're really geared up to give really precise on the ground information to help people make decisions. And I've been really impressed with that side of it, that in a genuine emergency like they're having, that they're calmly delivering news to people, and very thorough news to people, in a way that I don't think I've ever seen happen back home.
Friday.
The week has been crazy busy. Absolutely crazy busy. I have never had less time on this trip than I've had this time round. We came for 7 days to plan in, so we had a bit of downtime. We had a bit of downtime on the Tuesday, but I have had lots of stuff going on in the background. I've edited 3 podcasts while I've been out here. I had quite a lot of admin to do for an event that I was hosting over here. I've presented at another event, and then I've had meetings. I've never had a diary for a long time. I've never had a diary like I've had this time round. So it's now 7:20 on Thursday evening, which means that we're already into early hours, Saturday morning. Friday evening here, Saturday morning back home. I'm missing days already. I've got it all the wrong way around. But the point being, if I want to get this out to be kind of on time tomorrow, then I have to do it now. And I'm grabbing a little bit of time before we go out and grab some dinner to do this and hopefully get it wrapped up and get it put out. It's not going to be as long as it normally is because I'm up against it. But I seem to have been up against it all week. Now, we're going to get a bit of time. We're going to finish. The week's ended slightly differently because we were due to leave here about 3, 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon and head to Burbank, which is heading towards where everything is. We're going to be fairly close to Pasadena, so I might have more of an update. And there's a good chance next week's TFM might include the back end of this trip, which will mean, and I might even get a chance to record something before I go, so I might be able to bring more of an update on the fires and what's happening in that area, because we're going to be far closer to it. Though I've already had information to check into the hotel, so the hotel's obviously fine, so clearly it's not affected that greatly. But we are going to be, we're travelling 40 miles north of where we are, so we are going to be within 10 miles of the action rather than where we are now, which is within 50 miles of the action. And before you write in, I know 38 and 10 is 48, but you know what I'm saying. So it's been a fun packed thing, and it's been a really, really good trip. But again, I'm going to end up back at the point which I probably have talked about when I've been here, that at the reception I hosted that the MIA hosted, it wasn't me effectively because I'm the only person from the MIA here, I hosted on last night, on Thursday night, that I bumped into a guy called Dino. And I knew Dino 20 odd years ago when I worked for Academy of Sound. He worked at the store in Norwich. He was the assistant manager of the store in Norwich, and I worked in the head office, and I was in purchasing, and Dino and I always got on very well. We talked a lot about football. I didn't know that he'd been working with this particular company. They've never been MIA members, so I never really touched base with them. Their head, a guy who I knew in the dim and distant past, got in touch the day wanting some help with a hotel room, which we were able to help him with. And he consequently came to this reception, and so I got to meet Dino for the first time for ages, and it was lovely, and it reminded me that the reason I'm in this crazy industry, which is not a place you would stay in if you really wanted to make a lot of cash, or really wanted to have a very prosperous, very very kind of. Fulfilling career is the wrong term, but I could have had a more structured career that with a different set of outcomes if I'd gone into different areas. But it's those people that you stay in this industry for. And aside from it was lovely to have a catch up with him. I was in a room with 100 people, 100 plus people for our reception, who are all people I genuinely really really like. And it's the friendship element of it that keeps people in this ridiculous little sector that I work in, because it, in so many ways, it makes absolutely no sense. And as much as I'm bemoaning my lot, and it, of course I'm not bemoaning a lot. I've spent the week chatting to a load of people that I really like. In the warmth in January, and it's been absolutely fantastic. But ultimately, it comes down to those friendships. It comes down to people like Dino, who I've not seen for a ridiculous length of time, who I hook back up with. And every time I come here, I hook back up with somebody that I worked with at some point over the course of the past 25 years. And just, you remind yourself of all the reasons why those people are so special. I'm going to finish my Sam Adams. I'm going to go out and grab a bit of dinner. We've got, I think I was halfway through saying, actually, I didn't think I completed it. Jason happened to score us some tickets to go and see Jack White tomorrow night. So we're hanging around a bit longer to go and see Jack White play just down the road, which means we're going to be very late getting over to the hotel in Burbank. But that's the kind of quirky thing that happens in our industry, that somehow you end up with tickets to see Jack White. And I don't know much of the White Stripes apart from the bits that everybody can hum, but you know what, I'm not going to pass upon the opportunity to go and see him, so that's something I might email to tell you about next time. Anyway, I hope everybody is okay. If you're back in the UK, I hope you're okay in terms of everything that's going on with the storm that's been battering you. I'm not unhappy to have missed that, and hopefully that will have flushed its way through by the time I get home. But do stay safe. Do take care of yourselves, and I will talk to you next time.
If you've enjoyed Therapy for Me, then please subscribe and share as you see fit. This has been an A Short Stories production.